Remain standing, turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, Gospel of Mark chapter 9. A very familiar passage of Scripture today, and a very familiar subject matter that we will present today. Mark chapter number 9, and this is the man that said, "I believe, but help thou mine unbelief." You know, belief in the Word of God and the promises of God is something that we all struggle with from time to time. And it just seems that there's always something in life that comes along and kind of takes my faith and knocks it upside the head. Amen. And I don't know if you're like that or not, but it just happens. Mark chapter number 9. And we're going to read about this man and this account today and apply some applications and principles to it. I'm going to read from verse number 14, and I want you to join in with me down in number 18. Verse 14 says, "And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them." Now, what happened is Jesus had gone up to the mountain of transfiguration. It changed. He's coming back down the mountain. He had left the other disciples down there, and they have some confusion going on about them. Verse 15 says, "And straightway, all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, 'What question ye with them?' And one of the multitude answered and said, 'Master, I have bought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit.'" And I want you to join in with me from 18 down to verse number 24. "And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answereth him and saith, 'O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me.' And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tare him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, 'How long is it ago since this came unto him?' And he said, 'Of a child, and oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us.' Jesus said unto him, 'If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth.' And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, 'Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief.'" Today we're talking about, in times like these, stay firm in the faith when doubt overwhelms us. There's going to be times in your life and in my life when we know what's right, we know what we believe, but we just don't believe God's going to do it for us. And we're going to have those times, and those are the very times that we're living in right now. We see so many things changing around us, and laws are changing. It seems to be very chaotic and unsteady and unstable, and Christians are just very, very leery of things. And this man is being challenged in his faith to get what he's asking for. And Jesus said, "If you believe, it's possible." He said, "I really do believe, but there's a part of me that just is not there yet." And I'm sure many of you are that way on certain issues. And I do trust that God will work in your life today and in my life, and we might get through these times in which we live and keep our faith intact as well in the Lord Jesus Christ and not give it up, not let it go, and not forfeit the promises that God has for us. Because they're there for the claiming. We just have to believe that they're for us. Father, move in our midst today. And God, maybe there's one today that is wanting to claim the promises of God. Lord, I don't know what the issue may be. I don't know what the situation may be like, but I do know this, that you can do all things. And you want specific things for each life that's here today. Lord, maybe for someone today, it's to save them. Lord, for someone else, it's to secure them from a bad habit. Maybe for others, it is to help them with a relationship that they have. Maybe for someone else, it's to help them with a child today or a parent today. Maybe it's to help them with a job, Lord, or whatever the case may be. Oftentimes, we believe, but there's a part of us that just doesn't believe. It's not convinced. Lord, convince us today. convict us today where we're weak. And Lord, give us that consolation that you are going to do what you said you would do. Lord, there may be one today that needs to be born again. Maybe there's a man, a woman, or a boy or girl here today that's never trusted Christ, never put their faith and confidence in Almighty God. Lord, work in that man's heart, work in that woman's heart, work in that boy or that girl's heart. But Christians, Lord, help us, Lord, in times like these. Help us not to be overwhelmed or overcome by circumstances. But Lord, lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ and his word in our lives and keeping our eyes focused and fixed on he who is eternal and he who can make things that are bad better and best. Lord, now minister through song, minister through the sermon, speak to us like only you can. Save souls, Lord, secure hearts, and challenge us today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Amen. By the way, he's still God. Amen. He has not changed. He is God. He's always been God. He's going to continue to be God. Amen. And when time and eternity is long gone and we'll be in the eternal phase, he's still going to be God. Amen. So we praise God for our God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, you know, I'm not sure where you're at today in your faith, but I know my faith goes up and down. How many can identify with that? Amen. Sometimes God is great. God is good and he can do it. Then other times I believe, well, Lord, I don't know if you can do this one. Amen. And our heart tells us that we know he can do it. But there's an oddity about that. And we're going to talk about that this morning today as we talk about stay firm in the faith when doubt overwhelms us. And by the way, may I tell you and challenge you, life happens. Life's going to kick in. And things are not going to go the way you want them to go all the time. Amen. That's just the way it is. Mark chapter 9, and notice verse 24 once again. It says, "And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." You know, we are living in times where we find ourselves like the father in this text. We believe God can solve our problems, but we don't believe that he'll do it for us. We believe God can save our marriages, but we don't believe he'll do it for us. We believe God can strengthen our relationships. We just don't believe he'll do it for us. We believe he can safely pilot our children. Sometimes we just don't believe he'll do it for us. We believe that God can soften our boss's hearts, but sometimes we just don't believe he's going to do it for us. We have no problem believing that God can save our coworkers. We just don't believe he will save this one or that one. We believe God can secure us a spouse, but we just don't believe he'll do it for us. And we believe God can do many things. We've seen or heard of him doing these things, but somehow we just don't quite believe he'll do it for us. And again, amen?
Amen.
Sometimes we feel that way. God, I know you'll bless them, but will you do it for me? And we have this complex like, God, I know that you're our God, but that illness or that sickness or that problem or that job situation, that husband, that wife, that child, whatever the issue, I know you can, but will you? And sometimes we doubt. Sometimes we doubt. We can live in times like these when we stay firm in the faith when doubt overwhelms us. I remember very vividly my faith in our building purchase. And I continue to say, God, you can do it. I know that. That's not an issue. You have done it before to others, and so I know you can do it. My biggest question was, will you do it for me? Are my circumstances and my faith big enough where you will do it for me? And at times I doubted. At times I wavered. I was not wavering in the fact that I was confident that he wanted us to have the building. I wavered, and is he going to meet the need and give us the finances for it? And guess what? I look back, and in 2007, he did. And each thing like that should help our faith. Whenever God defeats a giant in our lives, it makes the next giant seem smaller. And you and I can live in times like these when we stay firm in the faith when doubt overwhelms us. I read last Saturday a devotional entitled Giants in the Land. It said, after being encamped near Mount Sinai for 2 years, the people of Israel were on the verge of entering Canaan, the land God had promised them. God told them to send 12 spies to assess the land, the people living there. When the spies saw the strength of the Canaanites and the size of their cities, 10 of them said, "We can't." 2 said, "We can." What made the difference? When the 10 compared the giants with themselves and the giants loomed large, the 2, Caleb and Joshua, compared the giants with God. And the giants were quickly cut down to size. "The Lord is with us," they said, "fear them not." You know, when God's on your side, that's all you need. It goes on to say, unbelief never lets us get beyond the difficulties, the impregnable cities, and the impossible giants. It preoccupies itself with them, brooding over them, pitting them against mere human resources. Faith, on the other hand, though it never minimizes the dangers and difficulties of any circumstance, looks away from them to God and counts on his invisible presence and power. What are your giants, they ask? A habit you cannot break, maybe. A temptation you cannot resist, maybe. A difficult marriage, maybe. A drug-abusing son or daughter, maybe. If we compare ourselves with our difficulties, we will always be overwhelmed. Faith looks away from the greatness of the undertaking to the greatness of an ever-present, all-powerful God. Then at the bottom it says, when fear knocks, answer it with faith. Good devotion. What's your giant today? What is that you have, like the Father has, that you believe God will do it, but a part of you is not convinced? Maybe it's your job. Maybe it's your son, your daughter. Maybe it's a loved one. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's your education. Maybe it's your health. Maybe it's your finances. What is that you have that you say, Lord, I believe, but you really got to help my unbelief? Because you're going to find that where you put your faith and your confidence at and in what is going to make the difference. We covered already in times like these, stay focused on Christ when the world distracts us, looking unto Jesus. Then we talked about in times like these, stay faithful in the word when truth seems to evade us, when everything around us seems to be shifting. Jesus said, thy word is truth. And then today, in times like these, stay firm in the faith when doubt overwhelms us. Give you some definitions here. When you talk about stay firm in the faith when doubt overwhelms us. Firm means to be set, to be not easily moved, to be not weak or uncertain. A building's foundation oftentimes is firm. It's fixed. It's unmovable. The word faith means persuasion or moral conviction. It's a strong belief, trust, or confidence in someone or something. By the way, you either believe God or you don't believe God. We all exercise faith every day by trusting things around us. Many of you are sitting on a pew that you trust. Some of you walked under the door hanger that you trust is going to stay up. You're in this building now because you trust that the ceiling will stand up. Some of you got in your vehicle this morning, you trusted that it would start. Some of you turned on your faucet trusting that you would get water out of it. We exercise faith every day. We exercise unusual faith. We will take a pill that a doctor that we do not know has prescribed for us that we've never tested and will ingest it in our body to a cure that he says it will be there. We exercise unusual trust. We trust the pharmacist that they have gotten the prescription right that the doctor wrote that looks like chicken scratch that you cannot read or decipher it. You give it to her, she pops out this pill, and you take it trusting that they gave you exactly what the doctor said to give you. We exercise unusual faith. But then Almighty God steps out and says, trust me, and we got problems with that. Almighty God says, I gave my best for you. Jesus Christ on the cross, he was crucified for you because I love you. He died for you. He was buried. He rose again for you. And I want you to trust him. And we got problems with that. But we'll trust the pharmacist. We'll trust the doctor. We'll trust the constructionist. We'll trust the auto mechanic who worked on our car, who we have no idea what he did under the hood of our car.
Yes, sir.
But we don't trust God. There's something wrong with that. Faith. Firm in the faith. When doubt overwhelms us. The word doubt is the exact opposite of firm. It means to be uncertain. It means to have a belief that something may not be true. We all doubt at times. Then overwhelm. Because we're talking about stay firm in the faith when doubt overwhelms us. Now, this definition of overwhelm, I think many of you can identify with this. Merriam-Webster says to have too many things to deal with. How many of y'all can give me an amen on that one? So as you walk into the job, you got too many things to deal with. As soon as the kids wake up, I got too many things to deal with. I've got 3 miles, I got 4 miles, I got 5 miles asking for something, got a spouse asking for something, got a boss asking for something, got a church member asking for something. Everybody's asking for something. Overwhelmed, to have too many things to deal with. Completely cover up and defeat is another definition. To affect strongly. Let's apply it to the father in the scripture. Perhaps the father had many other things going on in his life at this particular time. His son has this ongoing illness going on. And at this particular time, circumstances overwhelmed him, and it was more than he could bear. Life just seemed to cave in, possibly, on the father. It caught him at the wrong time, on the wrong day, but with the right person, Jesus. Amen. You know, Jesus loves the overwhelmed heart because he says, you can't handle it, can you? Give it to me. Too tough for you, isn't it? Give it to me. It's too strong for you, isn't it? Give it to me. You can't do it, can you? Give it to me. You can't control it, can you? Give it to me. Hey, that's how I was as a drunkard at 27 years old. Drunk every day of the 365-day calendar. And I couldn't control the liquor. And I said, God, I can't control this. He said, finally, you're getting to the point that you give it to me. Hey, sir, remember, you think you control it. You are gravely mistaken. You're gravely mistaken. Say, oh, I can control it. No, you can't. It controls you. You go where it tells you to go. Perhaps this man here has some things going on that have overwhelmed him. And he comes to the Lord Jesus Christ overwhelmed, doubting, and he needs to be firm in his faith. Let's notice just a couple quick things about this passage. Notice verses 17 and 18, we see a father. Notice what it says down in verse 17. One of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have bought unto thee my sons. We know it's a father there, which has a dumb spirit. Wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. I mean, he's wasting away. So right before his eyes, his son is just wasting away. He said, I spoke to your disciples, that they should cast him out, and they could not. By the way, demon possession is nothing to play with. We see a father, but then we see a fault. Notice verse number 19. He answered him and saith, O faithless generation. That's the fault. They had no faith. Their faith was less than what it needed to be. He said, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. Then we see a foe, verses 20 and 21. They brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him. He fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming, and he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? He said, of a child. We see a foe. By the way, the devil does not want you to believe. Let me say that one more time. The devil does not want you to believe. The first recorded words of Satan himself was, yea, hath God said. He does not want you and I to believe the word of God because he knows if we believe the word of God and if we act upon the word and step out on the word of God, he will bless his word. Amen. And he will bless your obedience to his word. And the devil does not want you to do that. And in this situation here, there's a demon involved with this situation. And the devil always is going to try to get us not to believe. And so he wants you to think that the situation is so bad. God can't do anything. God can't do anything. God is not going to help you. This is hopeless. This is beyond help. Imagine the father looking at the son, wallowing on the ground and foaming at the mouth and pining away. Thinking it's hopeless. Well, not only do we see a father, a fault, and a foe, we see some faith. Verse 22. Oftentimes it casts him in the fire and unto to the waters to destroy him, but if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. You know, the father says, hey, you know what? There's some things here. If you can do anything, help us. We see the wanting of the father. He's warning. He says, if you can do anything. You've all seen it before. You get to a situation and there are onlookers to a scene of a crime. And somebody inevitably says, can anybody help me? Can someone do something?
Can someone give CPR? Can someone do the Heimlich maneuver? Can someone get my child out? Can someone resuscitate my husband? Can someone help the baby? Can someone help this? We had a guy that had passed out front here. And we surrounded him and we were trying to help him out, but we didn't know how to help him out. And so they sent the paramedics. And the paramedics were able to at least get him conscious. The cops were here. What did he need? Help. He needed help. The help was beyond our control. It was out of our hands. But there was someone that could help. This boy is in this situation, and the father said, "Hey, I'm wanting some help. If you can do anything, help us." I like the fact that he says, "Help us." Now, the father's not possessed. The son's possessed. The son needs the help. But he says, help us. Why? If it's affecting the son, it is affecting the father. Hey, let me tell you something. If it's affecting the wife, it's affecting the husband. If it's affecting the husband, it's affecting the wife. It's affecting the parents, it's affecting the children. If it's affecting the children, it's affecting the parents. Hey, if it's affecting the church members, it's affecting the church. Whatever it is, it's going to affect somebody. He says, help us. We need help. We need help. If you can do anything, help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. We see the wanting of the Father, help us, but then we see the waiting of Jesus. He said, if you can believe, all things are possible. But then we see the wavering of the Father. Verse 24. Straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, here's my real heart. I believe. But help thou mine unbelief. Father's real heart came out. He said, there's a part of me that believes that you can. I've seen you do it. And so I know, I have no doubt that you can do it. My situation is, will you do it for me? I've seen you do it. I've seen you do it over here. I've seen you do it over here. I've seen you. I've watched you. I know you can do it. Have no problem with that. But this is me we're talking about. This is me. Hey, I've been there. Yes, Lord, you did it over here. And Lord, you did it over there. And you did it over here. But will you do it for me? The word help means to aid, to relieve, or to succor, or to run to the cry of those in danger. The father needed help for his unbelief and help to heal his son. Several commentaries have diagnosed this statement that the father made when he said, Lord, I believe. Help thy mind unbelief. Adams Clark's commentary says it this way. Assist me against unbelief. Give me power to believe. Albert Barnes' commentary says this. Supply thou the defects of my faith and give me strength and grace to put entire confidence in thee. Family Bible Notes says, teach me to believe more fully thy willingness and power to help. Jameson Fawcett Brown, I like this one. He said, it's useless concealing from thee, almighty healer, the unbelief that still struggles in this heart of mine. But that heart bears me witness that I do believe in thee. And if distrust still remains, I disown it. I wrestle with it. I seek help from thee against it. And that is by far the best. Hey, God knows our heart. God knows our faith. He knows how strong it is. He knows how weak it is. He knows it's wavering. Just be honest with him. Be honest with them. Our faith can hinder what God wants to do in our lives. One of the greatest tests for our faith is looking at what God has already done. Did he save you? Amen. Has he met your needs thus far? Amen. Then trust the God of yesterday. He's still the God of today. I'll show you what Israel went through. Hold your fingers there. Go to Psalm 78. Israel often struggled with this. They were in a love, not love, God relationship. Psalm 78. And if anybody trusted, should have trusted God, it should have been Israel. When it came to Israel in the wilderness, the issue was unbelief again and again and again. Notice Psalm 78. Notice the goodness of God already. Notice down here in verse number 13, he divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and he made the waters to stand as in heap. Notice 14, in the daytime also he led them with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. Verse 15, he clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink out of the great depths. Verse 16, he brought streams also out of the rocks and caused waters to run down to, like rivers. Notice verse number 25. Man did eat angels' food, and he sent them meat to the full. Verse 26. He caused an east wind to blow in the heaven by his power. He brought in the south wind. Verse 27. He rained flesh also upon them as dust, and feathered fowls like as the sand of the sea. Verse 28. And he let it fall in the midst of their camp round about their habitation. So they did eat and were well filled, for he gave them their own desire. You go down through here, and time after time after time, he met their needs. But notice verse 40. How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? How oft did God meet our needs time and time again? And then we don't believe God for the next thing. And we provoke him by our disobedience. Guilty as charged. Guilty as charged. Verse 41, yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Notice that. And limited the Holy One of Israel. That means that God could have done greater things, and he did not. They limited. What limited their unbelief? What limits God from working in your life and my life? Our unbelief. God can do it. The question is, will we trust him to do it? That's the question. Will I trust him to save me? Will I trust him to secure me? Will I trust him to steer me? Will I trust him to steady me? Will I trust him? Well, they limited the Holy One of Israel. Verse 42, they remembered not his hand, nor the day when he delivered them from the enemy. You know, oftentimes God has to take us through situations to show himself marvelous and mighty. Israel forgot the God of past distresses was the God of present distresses. And you and I, too, must remember that in times like these, we need to stay firm in our faith when doubt overwhelms us. He's given us the assurance, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. But yet when that dilemma comes, when it looms on the horizon, and when it gears up, and when it looks big, we oftentimes look at it and not look at God. Can I get an amen? Y'all know what I'm talking about. We have situations like that. We're all human. Each past victory by faith should prepare us for the next victory by faith, because God is still God and he's still building our faith in him. Will our faith ever level out down here on earth? I asked Pastor Bennett that years ago. I said, well, I just want to get my faith to where, I mean, it's just maxed out. Will our faith ever max out down here on earth? No. There's always more we can trust God for. The only time that our faith is going to max out when our faith becomes sight, when we see our Savior face to face and we get our glorified body, then we'll know to the nth degree what he can do. Right now, we don't know what he can do. We've seen what he can do. We have some glimpses of what he can do. But do we know all that he can do? We know some of it, but not all of it. And therein is where our unbelief lies. The things that we've seen, we have no problem with. It's the things that we haven't seen him do. Oh, it's okay to do it in somebody else's life, God, because you like them better than me. But what about my life? What about my life? Well, that said, we're going to look at some of the things that this father needed to stay firm in his faith when doubt overwhelmed him in the matter of his unbelief. And first of all, I want to see helping the father's unbelief. Notice the request of faith down there in verse number, go back to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, verse 23. Verse 23. Jesus said unto him, thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Why did he say that? Because you go back up there in verse number 22. Oftentimes it casts him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. The request of faith, the Father said, if you can do anything, I need you to help us. Our thought is often this, Lord, you've helped others, but will you help me? And this is why we question. I know my sin. I know my past. I know my thoughts. I know my heart. I know my decisions. I know my deceit. I know my mistakes. I know my disobedience. And God, if I were God, I wouldn't help me. Aren't you glad God's not you? Aren't you glad that God loves you? Aren't you glad that God looks beyond your fault and sees your need? Aren't you glad that we have a God that's merciful and that's kind? And time after time after time over in the Old Testament with Israel, he met their need even when they didn't deserve it. If we got what we deserve, we wouldn't get blessed at all. But I'm so glad I serve a merciful God. A God that loves me, and when I don't believe, when I look at my own life, my own circumstance, I got a God that says, you know what, son? You may not have what it takes, but you had enough guts and gumption to come to me with the issue. This father may not have had all perfected faith, but he had enough faith to come to Jesus. He had enough faith to come to Jesus. The request of faith, but then the reaction to faith. Jesus said this in verse 23, if thou canst believe, all things are possible. To him that believeth, he said, if you can believe, anything is possible. By the way, Jesus turns his father's words around. He said, if you can do anything, help us. Jesus said, not only can I do anything, I can do all things. So now what do you want? I can do anything, and I can do everything, and I can do all things. What part of all things do you need? So Jesus turned the request right around on him. Jesus, in essence, said, I want to help. I desire to help. I was sent to help. By the way, Luke 4:18 says it this way. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. That sounds like Jesus wants to help. By the way, I don't care what level your unbelief is at today. Jesus wants to help you. He wants to help you. Say, well, preacher, I don't have the faith. Neither did this man. But guess what? It worked. Hey, I'll let you in on a secret. February 3rd, 1991, the day that I got saved, I couldn't see what getting saved was going to present to me. I couldn't see all that encompassed being saved. I just knew this. The side that I was on was the losing side. And the side that I was on was going to a place called hell. I had enough faith to believe that that was hell. And if I had enough faith to believe that this was hell, guess what? I had enough faith to step out and get to heaven. And I didn't have perfected faith, but I had enough faith to put it in Jesus Christ for him to save me. I believed his death, his burial, and his resurrection was for me, nobody else. Me. You say, but God so loved the world. We weren't talking about saving the world at February 3rd. We were talking about saving me. So I wasn't concerned about anybody else. I was concerned about me. And so with a little bit of faith that I had, I said, well, Lord, I don't know what this is going to be like. I don't know if I can stop drinking. I don't know if I can stop smoking. I don't know if I can stop cursing. I don't know if I can be good. I don't know if I can go to church. I don't know if I can read my Bible. I don't know if I can pray every day. But what I know is I can trust you, and I'm stepping out. I said, I don't know what this is going to be like after I do this. And a sinner repented and humbled before God. I said, God, save me. And you know what he did with the little weak faith I had? He saved me. You know what Jesus is going to do with this man, his little bit of weak faith? He's going to save his son from the demons. The reaction to faith. Jesus wants to help. Genesis 18:14 says it this way. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Jeremiah 32:17. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm. And there is nothing too hard for thee. Jeremiah 32:27 says it this way. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? By the way, he's God. Then notice the reflection of faith. The request of faith, if thou canst do anything, help us. The reaction of faith, if thou canst believe, all things are possible. The reflection of faith, Lord, he said in verse 24, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Often we're exasperated and ready to sink. You know, often we're exasperated and ready to sink and overwhelmed by life. That's when Jesus wants to help us. Remember Peter walking on the water? And it said he saw the wind boisterous and beginning to sink. He said, Lord, save me. And the Bible says this in Matthew 14, 31. Immediately. It didn't say he had to wait. And by the way, if you're drowning and going under, you need to be saved immediately. How many of y'all ever been close to drowning? It's not a pleasant feeling at all. It is the scariest feeling. Your feet can't touch the bottom. You don't know how far you're going to go down, and you don't know if anybody's going to save you. It is the scariest feeling to not have anything under your feet, not be able to touch the bottom, and knowing that you're about to go under, and you don't have the ability to save yourself. The Bible says, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Now, he was just beginning to sink, the Bible says. Hey, our faith can be so weak at times, we're just beginning to sink. You know what we ought to say? Lord, save me. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Lord, you've got to fix the part that I don't have. By the way, he'll do it. He'll do it. He'll do it. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But without faith, verse 6 says, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Say, preacher, what is faith? Faith is simply this: taking God at his word and acting upon it. Bible says, by faith, they compassed the walls of Jericho. By faith, Moses was hid for a certain amount of time. By faith, David went up against Goliath. By faith, then they give an action. What is that? Taking God at his word and acting upon it. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. That's a promise of God. What is faith? Believing God at his word and having confidence in it. But God, you did it for others. You won't do it for me. That's the faith that you've got to have. Even if you've got meager faith, put it in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's often not until we see that we can't do something that God shows that he can. We often make this claim. We believe it for others, but often not for ourselves. Told you guys a story before about me and my wife. We got married at 19 and 20. And for the next 20 years, tried to have kids. Couldn't have kids for 20 years. And we said, God, if you want us to have children, why is it so difficult? Why are we not having children? And yes, you bless them with a child. And yes, you bless them with a child. But you don't do it for us. What's wrong with us? Is it our sin? Is it our lives? We're trying to serve you. We're trying to please you. God, what is it about us that you find unsatisfactory that you won't give us a child? And oftentimes it's not about what you haven't done, but it's about what God's trying to do. Can I get an amen? We want to put it all on us like it's us all the time. It's not us all the time. Sometimes it's like Job. It's what God's trying to do through us and what God's trying to work in us. We get this syndrome. We want to look inside. I must not be doing this. And you might not be. You might not be. And you might be with sin. And those things may be true. But it's not always the case. You don't find Jesus pointing out any sin to this man at all. Other than the demon. It's purely a test of faith. Do you believe it can be done? Do you believe it? And oftentimes we got to be honest. We say, Lord, I know you can. And I do believe. But what about me? Will you do it for me? 20 years later, God finally showed himself faithful and gave us a child. But guess what? If he hadn't given us a child, would he still be God? He'd still be God. If he didn't give Job back his children, would he still be God? Yes, he would. If he didn't give Job back his wealth, would he still be God? Yes, he would. Yes, he would. Yes, he would. See, it doesn't matter what happens oftentimes. What matters is what we trust God with and how we put our faith and trust in him to do what he knows is best. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Notice the requirement of faith. Romans 10:17 says this, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I cannot have any faith unless I know this book. That man brought that boy to Jesus because he had faith. He heard about Jesus. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He stepped out on what he heard, and he said, I'm going to get my son to Jesus. I've heard that he's a healer. I've heard that he's the one that can do this. I've heard about him. And he got his son to Jesus. And guess what? He got the son healed. Requirement of faith. Ephesians 2:8 says this, for by grace are you saved through faith. By the way, it all starts through faith. You've got to come through Christ to be saved, and then that not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We got to hear about it through faith, but then we get saved by faith. And guess what? We continue by faith. The just shall live by faith. Say, preacher, but my faith is not great. Nobody's faith is as great as they want it to be. But guess what? This man's faith was great enough to get his son healed. Great enough to get his son healed. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I believe this man had some needs going on. So we see the help to the father's unbelief, but then we see the help after belief. Once Jesus helped the father's faith and got him to the position where he was honest with his own heart and what he didn't have and what he did have, Jesus cast the demon out. Notice what it says in verse number 25. When Jesus saw the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying, unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee to come out of him and enter no more into him. I see something there that warrants discussing. He said, come out. So the demon had to come out. But then notice what else he said. Don't go in anymore. You say, preacher, why is that so important? He cast the demon out and he said, nevermore will you be bothered by this. Why do I point that out? Because when Jesus Christ saves us, guess what? We're saved forever. We're sealed. The Bible says we're sealed until the day of redemption. He has set a seal on us. And so when Jesus Christ comes in, the evil spirits, the wicked has got to go out. And guess what? I'm sealed until the day of redemption. No spirit can get in anymore. No spirit can possess me anymore. No spirit has the power over me. Oh, yes, they can influence me. Oh, yes, they can woo me. Oh, yes, they can get me to think wrong things, but they cannot possess me. He said, get out. Don't you come back no more. God said, get out and don't come back. What am I saying? God makes it complete. He's not only can I do this, but I can do it all the way. Father, you won't have to worry about this problem anymore. Anymore. He says, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. Spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead. By the way, show you how ruthless the spirit is. This wicked spirit is. Beat the boy up on his way out. Tore the boy up so bad that everybody thinks he's dead. Let me tell you, demons aren't your friends. They're not here to help you. They're not going to give you anything good. They're going to tear your life up and maim your life and make you ashamed by what they make you do. And even with Jesus Christ on the spot here, the spirit still rent him sore, it says, came out and he was as one dead. And so much that many said he was dead. But I like this, but Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. See, Jesus is just a hand away. He's just a call away. He's right there. I don't know what your situation is like today, but this father got a great lesson in seeing his need met with meager faith. Hebrews 7:25 says this, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. The question is, do you believe that he can do what you need? I don't know about you. I know when I first got saved, I doubted my salvation for about 6 months. I told y'all the story about that. And I struggled with that, and I struggled with that. And I read God's word, but it was just so elusive to me. Go over to John chapter number 10. And I was coming out of a emotionally based ministry that was based upon feelings and how you feel, not about what you know as a fact. And in John chapter number 10, notice what Jesus begins to tell the disciples. He says, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And notice this, and I give unto them eternal life. They shall, what's that word? Never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. He said, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. So if I'm a man, and if I'm in the hand of God, then guess what? Nobody can pluck me out of that hand, not even myself. So if Jesus said he's going to save me, guess what he's going to do? He's going to save me. Do you know that I couldn't get confidence in that? And I said, but I may walk away. Then I'm stronger than God. You know what I was actually saying? I don't believe you. That's what I was saying. I was saying, I don't believe that you can save me. And I don't believe that you can keep me saved. I believe that I can send my way out of your hand. The Bible clearly says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My reasoning was greater than God's reading, or so I thought. That I could do something, I could think something, I could go somewhere, and I could walk out of the Father's hand. Not so, my friend. Peter said, we're kept by the power of God. The power that made this planet. The power that made this galaxy. The power that made this universe, the power that holds that sun up there in its rotational field, the power that gets it all together, that sprung out the galaxies, that God has me. And if you're saved, that God has you. You know what the difference is? The devil tried to get me not to believe it. Why? He wants unbelief. Because he knows there's a promise that God has for you. I don't know what your situation is like, but I know those were six real tense months for me. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Maybe today you're saying, Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. Lord, help my unbelief in the, is this the right job? If not, help my unbelief. Is this the right friend? If not, help my unbelief. Is this the right mate? Help my unbelief. Is this the right direction I'm going? Help my unbelief. Is this the right home for me to purchase? The right vehicle? Help my unbelief. Is this the right school? Help my unbelief. Is this the right answer? Help my unbelief. Is this the right time? Is this the right way? So many questions, so many things. I get overwhelmed with it. And life doesn't stop. Life continues. The only sure thing that we have is to stay firm. And the faith of the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Say, preacher, I don't really know what he wants for my life. Then you need to get in this book and find out. Well, preacher, should I do this or should I do that? There's wisdom in a multitude of counselors. By the way, don't go to just any counselor. I go to someone that's walking with God. That's a soul winner. Someone that's trying to live for God. You know, you go to people like Rehoboam did, and I tell you, you're in bad trouble. Rehoboam and Jeroboam had that issue back in those days. One got good counsel, one got bad counsel. By the way, what is it today that you're questioning in unbelief when it comes to God? And you're asking, God, can you blank? Do you believe? And maybe you need to be honest with God like this man and say, Lord, I believe. But I need you to really help my unbelief. I believe this is the right direction, Lord, but if it's not, show me by the word of God that it's not. I believe this is the right person, Lord, but if it's not, show me by the word of God. I believe this is the right job, the right home, the right house, the right decision. I believe this is the right thing to do, Lord, but if it's not, Lord, help my unbelief. Show me in the Bible why I shouldn't do it or why I should do it. And Lord, give me the promise from your word. Why? His promises fail not. He said, my word will not return void. God honors his word. This man had enough faith, as wavering as it was, to say, Lord, I believe that there's a part of me that you've got to help. There's my son. I know you can, but help me where I doubt. And guess what? Jesus did the rest. God is willing to meet you at your weak faith when you come to him. My question is, will you come? Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and we're looking around. The question is, will you come? Will you come and let God help you with your unbelief? Will you come and give your life to Jesus Christ today? Say, preacher, I'm here today and I'm not sure if I died I'd go to heaven. I'm concerned about it. I've got some doubts about whether I'm going to heaven. But I know this, I don't want to go to hell. And I want God to help me with my unbelief. Would you come this morning during invitation time? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Lord, bless this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one looking around. I'm going to be honest today. You say, preacher, if I died right now, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I'm concerned about it. I've never been born again. I know the Bible has said I can go to heaven, but no one has shown me how I can be sure that I'm going to heaven. Would you pray for me today? Man, woman, boy, or girl, all across this room, you just raise your hand up. I'll acknowledge it, and you can put it right back down. If I died right now, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. And you'd raise a hand and say, pray for me, preacher. Man, woman, boy, or girl, all across this room, you're amongst people that love you and care for you. And we've all sat where you sat. Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I'm concerned. Pray for me. Is there one? Next Christian. Maybe you can identify with this, Father. You need to stay firm in your faith when doubt overwhelms you as to what you ought to do and what God can do. Maybe during the invitation, Christian, you need to come down to an old-fashioned altar and say, Lord, doubt is overwhelming me right now. Life has crept up and it's overcome me. And I'm shaky in my faith and I need you to steady me by your word. I need you to stable me through your word and then steer me by that same word. Christian, maybe you need to do that. You say, preacher, I've got so many issues. I'm so overwhelmed. I don't even know where to start. God knows. Lay them at the feet of the Lord Jesus and start the best way you know how, with the one that's at the top of the list on your heart. And say, Lord, I believe you can help me with this situation, but help thou my unbelief. Lord, if there is one today without Jesus Christ, save that man, save that woman, that boy or girl. By the Spirit of God, bring them to the point where they understand that Jesus Christ died for their sins. He was buried, rose again the third day for their sins, and he reigns on high. Help them to recognize that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. But help them to recognize the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And whosoever shall call upon them, Lord, shall be saved. Increase their faith today, Lord. And help that man, that woman, that boy or girl that's struggling today in any area, but especially in being born again. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Our heads are still bowed. Our eyes are closed. No one looking around, perhaps. As the music plays, God has spoken to your heart about an issue. And maybe you need to come down to an old-fashioned altar. Say, there's some overwhelming issues in my life. And I believe God can work, but I really need him to help my unbelief. There's some things going on with my family members. My son, my daughter, my husband, my wife, my relatives, my job. Lord, I believe you can work it. But help thou my unbelief. Would you come? Would you come? Straightway the father of the child cried out, said with tears, Lord, I believe. But oh, help thou my unbelief. I believe, but help my unbelief. Maybe it's an illness. Maybe it's a job situation. Maybe it's a situation at home. Maybe it's with your neighbor. Maybe it's with a fellow Christian. Maybe it's with your boss. Maybe it's with an aunt or an uncle. Lord, I believe you can work this out, but help thou my unbelief. Lord, I believe in times like this you can help me. But oh, help thou my unbelief. Father had the right idea. Bring him to Jesus. I may not have all the faith to do anything, but Jesus has everything that I need. Jesus is all I need. I'm willing to go all the way with Jesus. How about it today? Is God calling your heart? Is he tugging at you? Something that seems just insurmountable. Something that you just can't conquer. Bring it to Jesus. very familiar passage. Lord, I believe. Help down my unbelief. Just honest before God. Honest before God. So many things we don't know. We need God's steering hand. God's steady hand. So many things. Jesus said, come out. Enter. No more enter. The security we have in Christ. He's not only saved, but he secures and he seals. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. The special was, thy will be done. He can solve your problem. He can save your marriage. He can strengthen your relationships. He can pilot your children. He can soften your bosses or co-workers' hearts. He can secure your spouse. He can set things straight. We just have to give it to Jesus. Say, preacher, what if I don't give it to Jesus? He can't set straight what you don't give. But that which you give, he can set straight. I came with meager faith February 3rd, 1991. I said, Lord, save me, a sinner. And the meager faith that I had, Jesus Christ magnificently saved me. I've not been the same since. I'm glad, I'm glad. Perhaps you need to be saved today. Father, thank you for your goodness. Lord, thank you for the honesty that this man gives us and shows us. In coming to you, he not only gets help for his son, but he says, if you can do anything, help us. He needed a lesson in his faith as well. And as weak as his faith was, he was transparent. Oh God, we're transparent before you today. But help us to be transparent with ourselves. We may come before you humbly and say, Lord, we believe. But Lord, you've got to help our unbelief. There's a part of us that's not convinced. And Lord, we need you to convince us that you can and that you will. And when you do, Lord, help us to praise you for it. Lord, don't let that one soul leave today without knowing Christ as Savior, whomever they may be, that you may receive all praise, honor, and glory. Dismiss us with thy blessings, Lord. Give us traveling grace and give us the ability to be back tonight, hear the testimony of Stephen Bruner, and Lord, then hear the preaching of your word through Pastor White. Pray now you would guide in our afternoon, help our minds to be steadied, reflective upon what we've heard. And Lord, please help our unbelief. And your word says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Give us a steady diet of the word of God to act upon that which we know to do. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.